When you're cruising down the road in the fast lane, and you lazily sail past a few hard-driving cars and are feeling pretty pleased with yourself, and then accidentally change down from fourth to first instead of third, thus making your engine leap out of your hood in a rather ugly mess, it tends to throw you off your stride in much the same way that this remark threw Ford Prefect off his. What? He said. I said we've met. Zaphod gave an awkward start of surprise and jabbed a gum sharply. Hey, have we? Hey, Ford rounded on Arthur with an angry flash in his eyes. Now he felt he was back on home ground, he suddenly began to resent having lumbered himself with this ignorant primitive who knew as much about the affairs of the galaxy as an Ilford-based gnat knew about life in Peking. "What do you mean you've met?" he demanded. "This is Zaphod Beeblebrox from Beetlejuice 5, you know, not bloody Martin Smith from Croydon." "I don't care," said Arthur coldly. "We've met. Haven't we, Zaphod Beeblebrox, or should I say, Phil?" "What?" shouted Ford.
You'll have to remind me," said Zaphod. "I have a terrible memory for species."
"It was at a party," pursued Arthur. "A party 6 months ago on Earth, England." Zaphod shook his head with a tight-lipped smile. "London," insisted Arthur. "Islington."
"Oh," said Zaphod with a guilty start. "That party."
This wasn't fair on Ford at all. He looked backward and forward between Arthur and Zaphod.
"What?" he said to Zaphod. "You don't mean to say you've been on that miserable little planet as well, do you?"
"No, of course not," said Zaphod breezily.
"Well, I'm may have just dropped in briefly, you know, on my way somewhere. But I was stuck there for 15 years. "Well, I didn't know that, did I?
But what were you doing there?"
"Looking about, you know."
"He gate-crashed a party," said Arthur, trembling with anger. "A fancy dress party."
"It would have to be, wouldn't it?" said Ford.
"At this party," persisted Arthur, "was a girl."
"Oh, well, look, it doesn't matter now. The whole place has gone up in smoke anyway."
"I wish you'd stop sulking about that bloody planet," said Ford.
"Who was the lady?"
"Oh, just somebody."
"Well, all right, I wasn't doing very well with her. I'd been trying all evening.
Hell, she was something, though. Beautiful, charming, devastatingly intelligent. At last I'd got her to myself for a bit and was plying her with a bit of talk when this friend of yours barges up and says, 'Hey, doll, is this guy boring you? Why don't you talk to me instead? I'm from a different planet.' I never saw her again."
"Zaphod?" exclaimed Ford.
"Yes," said Arthur, glaring at him and trying not to feel foolish. "He only had the two arms and the one head, and he called himself Phil, but..."
"But you must admit he did turn out to be from another planet," said Trillian, wandering into sight at the other end of the bridge. She gave Arthur a pleasant smile, which settled on him like a ton of bricks, and then turned her attention to the ship's controls again.
There was silence for a few seconds, and then, out of the scrambled mess of Arthur's brain, crawled some words.
"Tricia Macmillan," he said.
"What are you doing here?"
"Same as you," she said. "I hitched a lift. After all, with a degree in math and another in astrophysics, what else was there to do? It was either that or the Dole queue again on Monday."
"Infinity minus one," chattered the computer. "Improbability sum now complete."
Zaphod looked about him, at Ford, at Arthur, and then at Trillian.
"Trillian," he said, "is this sort of thing going to happen every time we use the improbability drive?"
"Very probably, I'm afraid," she said.